Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Hello and welcome to the Hat Chat Podcast, episode 163, with your three hosts. Chris Trott is me. Me, Chris Trott.
Oh, hi, Chris Trott. Hello. This is the voice of Ross.
And I'm Alex Smith, and we're joining you today from Bristol, where it's hailing like crazy. We record this podcast in the roof of a building that has a roof made of tin.
Yeah.
And we have a live studio audience.
They're
always so quiet.
They
find nothing
funny
and they never clap.
I don't know why we keep bringing them in.
Fuckers.
It's so awkward.
Why are you watching us? It's so dead out there.
You may hear both the studio audience moving around and the hail smashing off the ceiling.
It's not white noise, it's hail.
Yeah.
It's easing off right now, but it's going to pick up for sure.
Who fingled us?
That would be Dibs Watt.
Ah.
Thank Dibs Watt.
Again. Thank you very much. It's a really cool track, actually. The whole thing is at the end of this episode.
Yeah, you the boss.
You the boss.
Did that sound legit? Did I pull that off? Can I say that kind of thing?
You the boss.
Do you think that? Like, you say words that are like lexicons of like certain, you know, subcultures.
I think if it comes from you and it's out of the blue because you never said it before, it's disingenuous. But if you keep doing it, it becomes genuine.
I think your mum is mid.
You the boss. Yeah. Well,
that felt real.
Your mum is mid. You the boss, so you would know.
My mother's mid.
That's which is fine.
Quite negative.
No, it's not.
It is quite negative.
It's mid.
So. She's mid.
Yeah, but mid is fine.
Mid is like, no, mid is a negative.
Yeah, but I know she could be in this context.
But she's not. She's mid.
Are you glad she's mid?
I think mid is fine.
So if she was fit,
yeah,
you'd be batting away all the men with a stick.
Yeah.
From your mum.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, but like mids, like, isn't... I mean, mid. So people say mid is bad, and I know. Understand in that context, mid is considered to be used
underachiever.
It's like mid. It's plain.
Like
it's bland,
this podcast
it's nothing.
Is mid.
Yeah.
To some people, very much could be.
But mids, I think. I mean, the way I know
backbone of society, isn't it?
No, the way
it's just middle.
The way
middle,
I know the word
average.
Mid is from weed. So
this mead is weird.
So this mead is weird. Weed is mid. So mids are actually the middle part of the plant. So remember when we were in...
it's a literal mead.
In that dispensary
LA,
tour.
Yeah,
he told us that, basically. So there's like different... At different points of the plant, the buds are smaller or larger. And people in the US especially like really big, frosty, big, good-looking nuts.
They love it big.
So they choose those. And those are like the top shelf cuts.
Yeah.
And then there are smaller buds within the plant. And those are known as mids. And then below that, there are much smaller ones again that are then used for like ground up and used for like pot and press and all that sort of stuff.
What are those called?
I can't remember, but like I think that's actually where it comes from. So I may not use the word mid, but I understand its use. I think.
Yes,
I disagree with its generalized use.
It's extremely straightforward once you hear someone
mid.
Say it in context, though.
It's quite mid.
It's extremely mid. Yeah. But what other words have you learned?
I'm just trying to think of off the top of my head. I can't.
Do you learn these on the street?
Yeah, always. I'm just listening in. What are they saying? What are those words?
Yeah.
And then I realize I'm outside like a foreign...
What's the what's that new
language school
term for that person there has a sweet ass?
What, bunda?
No.
No. Begins with G, I think.
Gyat. Yeah, we said Gyat before to you, and that really confused
you. Damn.
That was really confusing for you.
Gyat.
Oh, I think I fucking... A little kid did say Gyat, and I thought that was quite funny, because I don't think he said it in context. No.
Because that kid is extremely confused.
Some kids walking past, when I was walking Murph, and like one of them mentioned Gyat, but they said it in a really weird strange context that I don't think related
that
to
dog's. Mate, look at that Gyat pigeon.
Yeah, something stupid like that.
Yo,
like,
look at the dump truck on that pigeon.
Yeah, something dumb like that.
Gyat, come over here and get some bread.
You don't have to roadman it.
You do,
but I think that's almost become a lexicon of his name.
People who've never lived in parts of the country like that speak like that.
Yeah.
They've grown up all their life in Somerset, and some people speak like that. And I'm like, it is. It's just adopted from media, I guess. Like
the globalization of slang term.
Right. It's beyond slang terms, though. It's like an actual way of speaking, I guess. Like,
it's gone, to that degree. But it's weird when you had a friend, personal anecdote, I suppose, had a friend who didn't speak like that and then decided to hang out with those people and then did speak like that, which almost seems like maybe some form of appropriation of sorts.
It kind of is, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah. Like, it's just like, why are you suddenly talking like that now?
Like, all actions...
You've just picked that up somehow, like...
I can understand
you
it.
You definitely did not speak like that before.
Yeah. If you want to fit in, right?
Yeah.
I understand. You don't want to be that person that speaks weird.
Yeah. I think all accent and language has appropriation by its nature, right? Because that's the way that accents and language spreads through, like it spreads through nations, it spreads through places. So yeah, there is going to be appropriation, I think.
Well, I guess that's what's that?
But in certain circumstances, it's you're just like, funny, that's some high speed adopting you're doing.
Yeah, people were quite annoyed about that girl from Stranger Things 11. What's her name?
I forget her name.
But she, in certain interviews, she would obviously speak in like an American accent. I guess if she's speaking to American
and
interviewers.
And then she'd be very upper class.
And then she'd
class.
Be very British in others.
Well, it's
and people
were
like, oh my
gosh,
she's lost her accent or something. And it's like, oh, right, has she?
Everyone always says that. Like Austin Butler's been getting a lot of
shit. At a certain age,
I
don't think it's that easy to lose an accent.
I think
if you're a kid,
it's just
sure.
whatever's around you, isn't it, I guess?
And I appreciate you might... put one on. Like we do the Scottish thing when Ravs is around, and that's just because we're kind of like joining. I don't know why we do that.
It feels, but probably to
when
him,
you
it's
watch
totally
it back,
different.
It feels wrong.
Yeah,
to do.
It feels like playing.
It's good for us, but it's not good for them, is it?
No,
it's not nice.
It feels like we're
it's like Ravs Colsey doing a. Well, I wouldn't give a shit if he did.
I think we find it hilarious if Ravs tried to do English accents.
But that's us putting on to them that they must feel the same way as we do.
I don't believe that they must, but he hasn't given me any evidence to the counter.
Austin Butler's is weird that he does that. He just did a role as Elvis and now just keeps that accent.
Well, I think it's fine. Like, I don't know why people are so hung up on this.
I don't know, it's just...
Because it's fun to pick apart things
I think it's just
so much bigger than you.
It creates a disingenuous person.
But like, if you've become a person for a role, like Christian Bale or whatever, like some people really immerse themselves in these roles and learn out and haven't like a speech therapist and all that stuff to learn their language, I think it would stick. It's like learning a language.
If I came
it's an authenticity issue, isn't it?
All the time, you'd be like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, it's all
you'd
about
question
authenticity.
It. If it was something I could keep up, every day.
Fair enough, Ross.
I just had a chicken in a coke.
If I kept that up somehow,
I don't think I could actually really keep.
I'd like the idea that you would slowly start to develop a resentment towards us because you feel like we're discriminating against you because you're a Scouser.
That would be funny. Yeah.
That would be. Like, why don't you listen to me? You don't take me seriously.
You
don't
take me seriously.
You don't take me seriously.
I think if you're casting a main role for like Trainspotting 3, if you were casting a main role for Trainspotting 3, we both knew that you're going to be out for 6 months getting dialect coaching and going to be immersed in the Scouse ways for that long, and you came back with that accent. I think it would make sense.
Yeah.
I wouldn't belittle you for having that accent.
Did a lot more of the Northern accent after Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
exactly.
You just pick it up.
Like,
but
we just do it.
If I just...
Because it's fun.
Was ordering a coffee in that accent. Do you know what I mean? It's just like...
Yeah, yeah. I think, what Ross is trying to say
using
here...
Using it in a context...
We use all these accents because they're fun, right? Yeah.
Like because they're not our accent.
Not because you are that.
Person. Yeah, yeah.
It's just
not,
like
not,
fun. It's a role-playing thing almost. And not half the time it is a role-play thing.
And I'm not targeting any particular actor or person in place. I think that all it comes
Leave
down
Austin
to
alone.
Is like... how much you want to indulge each other, really. You know, like how much like you want people to be able to be like... I'm going to try speaking with a new accent for a year and see how it is. And you're like, all right. You know, like...
how rare is that?
Or you could be like, that's dumb. And then you, they're like, why is that? And you're like, I just feel like it's dumb. And like, you know, like as in it's about like, or you could just be like, all right, give it a go. And then they do it all year and they go, yeah, all right, yeah, that was
pretty
sweet.
It's not like I'm just trying a fashion trend. I'm trying out.
I don't know.
But it's not.
I'm trying out dungarees, guys.
Why is it negative, I guess? Like what we're trying to get to here is the crux.
Really happen.
Yeah. Because it's not the person you know.
Yeah, it's obviously
you've known me for 20 plus years. I mean, like, oh, now you've put on an Irish accent, right?
This topic could go in so many ways. It's quite negative.
I think so.
In terms of like, you're not the person I used to know.
But all of a sudden, suddenly just doing a random accent and then just telling your friends to just accept it. I guess, it's fine, but it's just like.
Yeah, but if you knew the context of why they're speaking that accent, rather than just.
What's
like,
the context? My context would be I wanted to.
Yeah, but that really happens.
Yeah, no, it's
like,
true.
In reality,
like, if you ever ran into that situation, the person would probably be able to tell you, like, oh, this is why I'm doing it. And then you can make a judgment call on those values, I guess. I think without reason, it's silly.
Yeah, without reason.
But what if I decide to be Irish and then start kind of like, you know, talking about my ancestors? And you're like, whoa, hang on a second. You can't take the whole. I would find that fucking hilarious, and
I would laugh at you every day. Like, because the context is you, and you're pretending to be Irish, and I know you don't have Irish ancestors. And beyond it being a serious mental health crisis, I would be like, is this a funny thing?
Well, exactly. Well, you know, there's people who wake up speaking different languages or like accents.
There was some woman
who literally woke up with a Scouse accent. She said, I don't know where fucking came from. Suddenly got an accent.
Brain injury?
Yeah, something
could
like that.
Could be some sort of weird,
there's a name for it. I'm not sure what the name is for it, but it's legit because it's like, I mean,
I'm trying to think of a funny.
But your friend would try and catch you out every step of the way. Like, are you still talking?
I feel like
that word was definitely no. Okay.
I feel like you just used this opportunity to become Scouse.
But it was the one who could speak fluent Chinese.
Or...
Wasn't there someone who could speak fluent Chinese who was like British and just like came out of nowhere? And that's a fuck. That'd be a hilarious prank to play.
A lot of those situations are hoaxes.
That would be a great prank to play because suddenly, oh fuck, he's learned Mandarin.
Because newspapers love those articles.
Yeah, called, yeah, yeah.
But it's foreign account like, syndrome, yeah. apparently. Accent syndrome. Foreign accent syndrome. I reckon there must be at least in their lexicon of their brain, they must have been surrounded by that accent.
Yeah, totally. Because you can dream an accent so you can't produce yourself, right?
I can speak it in my head, but I struggle, so
the ability to, it's just about whether or not you can tell your vocal cords and mouth to verbalize the sounds that you hear within your mind. So I can believe that happens.
Somebody's talking about moving from America to like, the UK. I imagine the things that would mainly change are literally pronunciations of like specific words. Where like, I don't know, what's an Americanism?
What?
Of like a word that we say differently to Americans.
Parking or lot like, and car park?
Yeah,
What about rocket and arugula?
Arugula, yeah. Arugula is, yeah.
Not even
called that here.
Aubergine. What an Americanism for like what? Like
trousers, pants.
Yeah, trousers.
Would they start
pants,
calling it water? Water,
it depends. No, we say water.
I want a water.
It depends where you are in the UK. It's so regional.
Water.
I was watching a thing about. There's the British operation to train Ukrainian soldiers, and they have a bunch of Ukrainian translators who've come over to help. So the people that are teaching. The Ukrainians are Scottish.
Oh, okay.
And so the Ukrainian translator was telling them about how they had to learn what a word was with a Scottish accent.
Right.
And she was like, you know, they say like, ball. And she's like, I don't know whether he's saying bottle, battle, ball. And then he's like,
or pal.
Yeah, or pal. He's like, and she's like, yeah, he's basically compressed the word battle into anything that could be. Yeah, or pal. Yeah. And she's just like, yeah, we just have to guess on the context. And I'm hilarious.
Scottish is a very thick accent. It's a fantastic
It depends
accent.
On where you're Again, from, right? Yeah,
if
the location.
You're more southern,
it's
in
not
Scotland,
as strong,
it's not
yeah.
as strong, yeah.
Mm. But, yeah. Anyway, I don't know why we went onto that tangent.
Yeah,
had a traumatic head injury.
If you had a traumatic head injury, you'd be a far more interesting person. What are you going to say?
But there's a reason for that.
Well, I woke up with like a really strong
erection.
Jamaican accent.
I really still have not made. I should like read about this or some shit because I've made so little progress with my opinion on doing accents. Like for me, it's still probably around the like. on the whole, just doing an accent.
Oh, okay. Well, do an Indian accent for us then.
I can't. It comes out Welsh.
Do a Chinese accent for us.
I mean, it does feel bad to do, doesn't it? I mean,
suddenly,
yeah,
just when you're
all right,
put on the spot,
European
because
accents, I'm happy doing.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Okay, is that all right?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Can't offend like, other white people, feel like, right?
Well, I mean, it's more just, I guess I feel more comfortable offending them because I understand the context better.
Yeah, I think so. It's more the education.
It depends if you start bringing stereotypes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think most accents
Oh, no, I still have being stereotypes of... Oh, okay. Because, like, you know, the French, the Germans, the Spanish, we all do that of each other, you know? Like, there's plenty of English stereotypes, let's be honest.
I think if you're willing to take the beating,
yeah,
it's okay to give it.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, exactly, you don't understand certain cultures... Yeah. That don't understand that kind of level of humor,
and maybe ease into it. When we don't wade in with a Hitler joke, you know,
when we did the 1 hour film challenge, you put that French accent. Were you also impersonating the guy from The King? Because there was a part in that where I watched that clip the other day.
Oh yeah,
and he was really like, really like doughy eyed and kind of like, oh, what's
what the Robert?
What's his name? The guy from Twilight. I can't remember his name now.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. Pattinson, yeah, that one.
He plays a very foppish king.
Yeah,
in the Agincourt by
and he's like
Alfred.
Offering to like have a one-on-one fight with him. He's like, oh, to just murder on their own.
No, I love it. Now, the reason I was doing that because I did a LARP.
Because I was supposed to, wasn't I supposed to do something? I didn't catch it.
You had meant to do a line. I just kept on going until you said something.
Yeah.
No, I did that foppish French character at a LARP. Just basically
had a whale of a time.
Practiced it.
Nice.
It's very allo, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is a stereotype.
Yeah, that is a stereotype, but a funny one.
The French can take it, can't they?
I hope so.
Oui.
Bloody hope so.
But I have this traumatic head injury and really Jamaican.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, I think as long as you preface it with that, I think you're fine, aren't you? What can you say otherwise? I can't help it because can you help it? I can't do it. So I was going to do the accent.
I've seen
the only one I can. The only word I can say is beer can.
Beer can.
Oh, Jamaican.
Because it's beer can.
Yeah. Jamaican. I mean, you're going to make yourself look like an idiot. That's the main thing, isn't it? Like, I think that's the main thing.
My brain is limited to how much Jamaican it can do.
Wasn't there,
authentically.
I don't know if maybe he is Jamaican. There was a dude who was like
Sean Paul,
supposedly controversial.
Wagwan man.
I can't remember what it was. It was.
Is he just
he was trending for a bit? But
I think I know who you're talking about.
It's a rapper or something.
No, maybe you're not talking about this, but it was fucking Tom Hanks' younger son, Chet.
Oh,
Hanks.
Yeah, he was doing that for a bit.
Talking like
Chet
that.
Hanks, like, holy shit!
And he was trying to explain to people like it's not appropriation. Like I hung out with a bunch of people that talk like this for ages, and I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually kind of liked his explanation. He's a lunatic, but
in other aspects,
that's who the people he was surrounding himself with.
Yeah, yeah, and he's like, I really like it because I think that is something that's great about accents, and going back to what we were talking about earlier about like roadmen, like it is interesting, like it like the words and in all like accents and cultures and stuff, like hearing different ways to say the same thing is very interesting. It gives you a lot of context. So I think that's kind of what he was saying. He hung out with these people, he really liked the way they talked, and he kind of wanted to do it too. And I mean, I think that's a fairly nice thing to say, really. Other stuff he's done, not huge. Get me a Chet Hanks t-shirt.
This guy looks similar to the guy that I've seen, but I think the guy that I've seen is definitely Jamaican, and he just goes up to people and just like says stuff in real like localized slang, Jamaican, about like my wife's left me and what would you do? And everyone's always very talkative, so I'd wake up like that basically.
Right, because there's a clip on. I think it was a clip from like Big Brother or something, because there was a celebrity one not long ago. And this dude was like, am I allowed to say like bomber clap? And they were like, no, don't say that. And then there was this whole debate about it. And I was
it's a religious connotation, bomber clap, isn't it?
I don't know.
Basically,
I've been saying it all my life.
A lot of people, when it comes to like misappropriation and all that kind of stuff, you'll often find the people that really come down on you for doing such aren't even from that culture to begin with.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's people on behalf of other people.
There's no name for that.
Yeah, there is. I can't remember what it's called. Like Justice Warriors.
Munchausen by proxy.
Something like that.
But essentially, if you've been around that culture, and that culture, those people are like, it's kind of great that you're sharing this culture. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Until you profit from it.
Profit separate from morals, we know that.
Yeah, because everyone was pissed off with Post Malone with his first single.
Oh, wow, Beyonce's doing country music now.
Because he had the old dreads and stuff. Oh, was she?
Yeah, it's because she got lambasted by the country, because she did a country song.
Wasn't it just a one-off song?
A few years ago, apparently.
And then she's like, I'm going to show all you guys, I'm going to do a whole album in country.
But the whole album?
Yeah.
The whole album,
I think so.
Well, apparently. I mean, it does seem silly.
Yeah, shit, innit?
It's quite petty. It's quite big.
I love some country music.
I think she's doing it out of spite, though.
It just seems a bit weird. Like, all right. It's like saying, like, hey, you know what? Elton John's getting into, like, I don't know what, like, house. I mean, that could be quite good.
Elton John's quite an eclectic
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, poor example.
I can kind of see that.
But then Beyonce is, you know, equally one of she's quite a pop world's star. Most popular musicians.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure. Good luck, I guess. Just seems a bit odd.
I'd prefer her to do like death metal.
Yeah.
Start some vocal fry.
See, that again would be like, what? Yeah. Like I'd be the same kind of like, all right.
I think that'd be dope, like, as hell. Like her power ballady voice on top of some chugging guitars would be pretty dope. Maybe consider that for your next one, Beyonce. I think you'd really suck at metal and you'd shame the metal community. That's what will get her to do it.
Right. Oh, I see. He's reverse psychology.
Yeah, yeah.
God, that's crazy.
The entire metal industry hates you, even considering the notion.
This podcast is a psyop. This whole podcast has been a psyop to try and get Beyonce to make metal music.
It's been 163 episodes, and we've certainly laced it.
Deploy the plan.
If you look at every word at the start of the podcast, it actually spells out the whole paragraph.
Beyonce is too chicken to do metal.
Yeah.
Oh, last time, didn't we? We'd seen Dune. Did you see Dune last time?
Oh, I've seen Dune now.
I've seen it now. Dune.
Yeah.
We've all seen Dune 2. Do we need to put a spoiler?
What were your
warning
thoughts? We won't spoil.
No spoilers.
Anything. No spoilers. We won't spoil anything.
Spoiler free.
But you watched it now, so you can actually. Because obviously, I was like, I bigged it up in a big way, but you might not feel that way.
Did he overhype it for you?
Did I overhype it for you? Did you feel like it was.
No,
okay?
Not at all.
Meh.
No, I don't think you overhyped it. I'm surprised you expressed such extreme love of it.
Oh,
but that's maybe more a reflection on you than on the film. Not in a negative way, just like, you know, I think it was a fantastic film. Yeah, I loved it. I mean, it's just so unbelievably up my street that it could have been pretty bad and I still would have enjoyed it.
Yeah,
a lot of people seem to struggle with the fact that the first film is quite boring because it's slow. It's slower.
Very slow.
But the contrast between this film, which I don't think it's boring at all in any sense. Well, it kind of like there's a lot goes on.
Yeah.
And then I decided to watch the original, and that's, well, I say the original, like the one from 1984, which is awful. But like the second film, in terms of like narrative, the second film doesn't even appear until the last third of it.
Really?
So that was all compressed.
Condensed into a tiny bit.
The worm writing's immense on the old one.
It's, yeah. Yeah, the new one.
Wailing.
Dune 2's
heavy metal guitars.
I mean, to make some jokes about it, I mean, those fucking worms are like Deliveroo in the second film.
Yeah, I know.
They're just you want to get a worm?
Yeah.
Should we get a worm?
Get the stumper out.
Without spoiling it.
Get the hooks.
Get the worms out.
Without spoiling it, the danger of them has definitely
diminished, faded
a lot.
Yeah.
They got full control over those dinks.
But yeah, that's. Yeah. But I guess that's because he's one with the Fremen.
Yeah.
Do you like the, you know, the poison?
Do you like the poison?
What do you mean by that?
Troy's currently raising his eyebrows up and down.
You were talking about it beforehand, having understood the source material.
Oh, I understand. The waters of life. Yeah.
Yeah, and how it's portrayed in Dune 2.
Well, did I like how it was done? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice. I think the film must be insanely confusing for people who don't bother to try and read the back of it, because like stuff like the fucking...
It's not very well explained, is it?
There's so many bits that aren't well explained, but well executed in the film if you understand the context. And I'm not saying you have to read the books before you go in. I haven't read the books. But
the books throw in the deep end straight away as well.
They do.
Like,
but
it gives you it without any context. You've got to go through the back, the references, which is
well, yeah,
enough,
that's
suppose,
maybe.
But...
But yeah, the whole pre-life thing of the baby.
The whole talking thing's weird.
Yeah,
isn't it?
That talking. Is not explained in the films. But if you read about it, like. It makes a lot more sense. Those scenes make more sense, you know, because, like, God.
I think the mum is a great actress as well.
Yeah.
She's really good. Mm. Yeah. She plays that role very well, going from, like, worried mother
to, like, this kind of.
And also Bene Gesserit.
She's evil, doesn't
into
she? Feels evil.
Cult.
Rebecca Ferguson, yeah.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, she is.
I think.
She is. Yeah, no, I loved it. I mean, I just. It's awesome. The scenes, like just the way the film looks. I tell you what, I was quite disappointed with the cinema.
The sound was too quiet. No IMAX.
I wanted to go out and tell them to turn it up, but I didn't want to miss the film.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Is it a showcase in Avon
Meads? Yeah, it was Avon Meads. Like the whole thing was fine. The screen was fine. The seats were great.
Screen number?
14. No, 7 and 14 are their two biggest screens. Right. I chose it specifically for that.
But they've got like USB speakers in those ones.
What?
Yeah, they had to compromise with the screen and they could only fit
this is not true.
Bluetooth speakers.
You're wasting my time, Christopher.
I feel like you're working for them sometimes. You really do big that place up. Just saying.
Something I love about Dune is the sound design. It's fucking incredible. Yeah. And it was too quiet. But no, the film itself, amazing. Obviously, I think that's a good point about the sound
because, like, well, I watched it in IMAX and it was loud, but it wasn't Inception loud where you couldn't hear their voices.
It was just well balanced.
So whoever they worked with on that
should work with Nolan.
Needs to fucking speak to Nolan and tell him to stop being a fucking cunt. Nolan. Honestly, like, I love his films and I think, you know, he's a talented filmmaker, but, like, his opinion on, like, you have to see it in the cinema, it's like, it has to be amazing. Even in the cinema, you can't hear their fucking voices. Let it be enjoyable for people still.
He might have, like, ear damage that he's not aware of. Like certain
Well, that's fucking shit then, isn't it?
That makes no sense.
That would be so shit.
He'd have super sensitive hearing.
So
I mean, like certain frequencies are like gone.
He's got ear damage, so he wants to be
thousands of people
able
who work on
speak.
That project are like, well, this sounds really shit to me. But only Nolan thinks it's great.
The white noise of like the medium range frequencies that like are rocket blasting off.
That cover
versus the
voice.
The higher frequencies of voices. He can't hear any of those middle frequencies.
Yeah,
he's
maybe.
Like, can you turn the rockets up a bit more?
Because I feel like I couldn't even watch it at home. Like I tried watching Interstellar, that was it. And I was just turning it up and down because it was like quite late. I was like, oh, fuck.
Why do TVs, right, if you're just using the TV speakers and streaming services, still not understand what speaker output you have?
Yeah.
And why does it always do like really loud music and quiet speech? Like, why is that still
a
thing?
I will say that TV needs a sound system.
Yeah, it does.
Those speakers are not.
But it's stupid.
TV speakers are not the one.
I feel like the bare minimum should be like, this is a TV at home, not a 7.1 surround system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's the relevant audio for that stereo setup, not the 7.1 with like only a couple of channels available.
Well, I don't know whether this is a setting that could be changed in your television.
Believe me, I've been through them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what? So if it's a 5.1 source, it'll synthesize 5.1 through your stereo
just
speakers?
It doesn't balance the 7.1. So, like, the center speaker is meant to be for vocals, right?
Yeah.
Instead, I'm getting, like, the fucking music and the speech at two different levels of volume because there's not enough speakers for the speech, basically.
Sound systems are expensive, though. Like, I looked into getting a sound, like, just a 5.1 soundbar and sub setup, and they're, like, £500 minimum, you know, for one worth
that's
getting.
True. Yeah, yeah.
You can get ones for like £200, but they're not worth getting. Yeah, like, you know, because they're still stereo, they're 3.1, so like it won't do much for you either.
Yeah, the Samsung one I got must have been, close to £600.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably.
It's just frustrating that you but have like, to indulge in that.
Really good.
To get normal audio.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's
but I think it's the battle between how thin the TV is now. That's the issue. It's because TVs are so thin, they can't put decent quality speakers in them that do enough.
The speaker quality is fine. It's just the balance of the mix is wrong because it thinks the TV's 7.1.
Yeah.
That's what needs to change.
Tell you what I've been doing recently, and I fucking love it. When I really want to, when it's just me watching, you can do it with up to two people. When it's just me watching, AirPods.
Just headphones,
They tether to my Apple TV.
Yeah, that's
and
nice.
I can just press a button and I can watch it all with the full like rendered audio in it.
And you can have it loud as well.
Yeah. But that's only for like when I want to watch specific things where the sound is really, really key. Because obviously, seeing
I put the subwoofer underneath my sofa, it's fucking great.
Yeah, feel the vibrations.
For decent films, it's great. Yeah.
What's the thumping like from Dune 1?
It's heavy. I feel for my neighbors.
You can see why the worms come out.
I don't know why. It's like a blast, that fucker.
Do you see
solid concrete floors?
And down.
There's no one above.
No, as in like that's why. So you're like it's firing up. Is that an up firer?
Well, it's sat on the floor though.
I presume it's firing straight into your asshole.
Yeah, is it also firing into the roof of the tenant below you?
Well, yeah, I imagine so. Yeah, there are rubber stoppers, but I don't think that stops
that's
anything.
Not doing that's not stopping anything.
Yeah, rubber will sort you out.
Yeah,
that's what we
put. Really should put carpet on.
We got a train coming through here, but don't worry, we put rubber under the rails. It'll be fine.
Sounds like the sci-fi movie is always on in that fucking flat upstairs.
Boom, boom, boom.
Our live studio audience is telling me that soundbars will fix all my issues.
Soundbar
like, soundbars sort
yeah,
it
even
out.
If you've got a soundbar without like the side speakers and a sub, like a soundbar will sound way better. But okay. It defaults to 5 or 7.1, whichever your
I'm always
setup is.
So...
And get the Dolby Atmos. That's the good...
Yeah, picture. You want Dolby Atmos. This is the problem. So to sound, get Dolby Atmos, you need to spend at minimum like... Probably minimum 350, but I would spend 500.
What's wrong with it?
And then I just didn't try one.
Because I'll tell you what, if my TV ever defaults to the TV sound, I feel pissed off. Because yeah. I don't have that good, because I've got it there. If that's not on,
have you got speakers behind you as well?
Yeah, well, either side of the sofa, there's speakers pointing towards you, and then obviously you've got the sub, and then you've got the soundbar and the TV, and it's just like epics.
Next year, maybe.
But it's just like, it's worth it.
But you're never going to AV Meets again.
I'm glad it's worth it.
Then what are they going to do?
See, I wouldn't go to AV Meets. If I could have got Dune 2 and watched it on my nice TV with a good sound system, I don't have a good sound system. I've got TV speakers because... Like
but you're
say,
not going to get all the cool...
When I really care, I'll put my headphones in. But it's not... I'd rather have a soundbar, but they cost less money.
Well, what about the cool Dune cups that you'd only get at the cinema?
We didn't get Dune cups. Popcorn, did you get Dune cup?
Yeah, I got a Dune cup.
Did you?
I didn't get...
Hello, I'm Wheels, the Dungeon Master for Storybreakers. Love Critical Role in movies like Hot Fuzz and Spotlight? Actual play series Storybreakers combines the fantasy adventure of Dungeons & Dragons with small-town comedy and mystery in an episodic tale of journalists on the hunt for the secret underbelly of a tiny town where nothing seems to happen.
But excuse me if I don't think a bunch of ragtag journalists from a podunk town are actually going to be of any help.
But technically I don't come from here.
When the mysterious arrival of a celebrity from the Heroes and Adventurers Guild sets off a strange conspiracy, the group will have to leave what they think they know about the world at the door if they're ever to unravel the truth at the heart of this seemingly nondescript town.
It's not front page of the Sasai Star News.
I pull up the today's like installment of the news to see what the front page actually is.
There's a big picture of a pumpkin that's been stepped on, and it says, "Outrage as pumpkin stepped on."
Storybreaker Season 1 in its entirety is available for listening right now wherever you get your podcasts, with Season 2 on the way. Find out more at dicebreaker.com.
Fucking Dune Cup, the one with the fucking, like...
Not the worm one.
The fuckable one.
That's the pop worm toy. You can get a worm.
It's
mouse.
Got a little tendril.
And then put your pocket. I mean, it's fun. That's very fun. Don't get me wrong.
You wouldn't get that at home, would you?
No.
But you probably used a few popcorn just trying to get it out, because it's grabbing them.
With his little teeth. Yeah. What are they called? I want to make loads of Dune-related jokes, but I can never remember all the fucking names they came up with.
Oh, well, I know, remember one name. Paul is fucking the main character's
Atreides.
Name. The name Atreides, but there's just Paul. I still find that really annoying. People are like, yeah, but that's his name.
Would you prefer Gary?
It's a biblical name. Yeah, Gary would be better.
Gary would be better, wouldn't it?
No. Speaking of... Give him a better name. You know, obviously, we were talking about a subject with which we know a huge amount about, appropriation.
And
that we can both, enlighten people with our informed conversation on the matter and also not piss anyone off with our sweeping
takes. It's
just
a beautiful line that
we're really good at talking about this.
Daintily walk along.
Did you feel the religion stuff in Dune 2 was a little on the nose when it came to Islam?
Oh, good question.
Did all of the Fremen seem like they were every trope of religious Islamists?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you not see that?
I see the parallel now that you've raised it.
I didn't even...
How do you not? It's like they're clearly meant to be, especially when they go south to meet the fundamentalists.
Yeah, right.
Right?
That's a really good point.
Like, every single element
of
it.
That's new, though.
Oh, I didn't even think.
Like, that's not in the books. The whole, like, separation of the North and South Fremen.
That's not in the books.
That's not in the books.
Right, okay.
Apparently. This whole, like, fundamentalist southern area where...
But I get all of that, and I get, you know, people are saying like spice is an analogy for oil and in the desert,
and also,
I completely understand all these things.
Right, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, in the way that it was presented in the film,
like the way they
had an opportunity to not make it Muslim with different words, you know, but it kind of seemed a lot like that, you know, the way people congregated, the things people wore, the kind of language. Like, I know that they're using words from the book. I'm not going like, that film's racist. I'm just like saying, like, for me, I was watching this, I'm just like, Jesus, like, they're leaning into this hard. Like, if they led into like Knights Templar shit, you know, you'd recognize that as well, you know, like, God wills it, and like big fucking tabards with crosses on. And
apparently Mal Hadib,
yeah,
allegedly, this may not be true, in Arabic literally means tormentor.
Right, interesting. But I mean...
But like the fact that they're taken from Arabic.
But like...
What's his name? Frank. Who wrote the books?
Was it? Not the same guy that did Sin City.
No, not Frank Miller.
No,
the only Frank that exists.
Frank Herbert.
But he didn't really think about it.
Maybe I don't know enough about.
He's also heavily homophobic.
Is he?
Frank, yeah. I don't know enough. Like the women portrayed in the original Doom books, very like marginalized, not marginalized, but patriarchal, dominated.
Funky headgear though.
Funky headgear though. Good point. Again, yeah. I'm seeing the parallels.
Christopher Walken's daughter, or granddaughter.
Huh?
Cool headgear.
Christopher Walken's granddaughter.
Oh, what's her name? She's like,
oh, she did have
the
cool
future
headgear.
Empress.
Yeah. With the funky like, kind of like diamond veil thing. That's pretty annoying to wear, but like looked pretty cool.
It fit so well.
Yeah, well, it was obviously custom made.
No way.
Yeah.
They didn't get that off Smithies.
They wouldn't have found that on
Smithies costumes.
Yeah, we need something very jeweled up, specifically fitting her head and entire body.
What did you think of the Harkonnen gladiatorial scene?
Cool. Oh, that was really cool.
Cool.
That was really good.
All under the black sun. Mm. Very cool.
Mm. Yeah, Austin Butler looks menacing in that scene.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I can't spoil too much.
Thickened
without,
his brow up.
But yeah, in a big way. It's great. There's so many great things to it. It feels like a really nice snapshot, a look into a world, doesn't it? It's like, I think like, you know, there was that film with Jupiter
Costner.
Ascending, is it called?
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
And Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis, that's it.
Wachowski's film.
Yeah, like films like that come along, like sci-fi films or series or things that could be potential franchises or rather just good versions of books is usually what it is. You know, there's loads and loads of amazing sci-fi books. Every so often, people try and take a swing at making films out of them. And you can tell when a world doesn't seem legitimate, and I think films like that, Jupiter Ascending or whatever it was called, are an example of that, where they've tried to make the world seem real, but something about how they've either displayed it, shown it, or told the story makes it feel like you're just looking at, what's it called when you only render what you're looking at?
Oh.
In a game.
Simulation theory.
But anyway, that feeling.
That's what I feel like.
Huh?
I saw something on Simulation Theory that said that that's how some people... That could be how we perceive.
Foveated.
Is it not foveated? Is it foveative rendering?
Yeah.
That's just about focus, isn't it?
That's about high definition where you're looking.
Anyway, you get what I'm saying. And I feel like when a world a lot of the time feels like that, it doesn't grab me. Ambient occlusion is when things reflect light in a space properly.
It's been occluded. No, that's ambient.
Anyway, you know the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, but I really want to know the term now. You carry on.
But yeah, like...
ambient culling.
I think Dune is a place that feels as though it's real. Like the films make that world feel like, oh, let's go and look at that planet. Let's go and see what's going on here. Let's
what we're looking at here. Is like just a snapshot of a wider world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
but
you can tell if they put the camera anywhere else, stuff will exist.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. Really, really cool.
You should watch Scavenger's Reign.
Yeah.
It's yeah, really you've really cool. been raving about that. I can't.
Yeah,
I'm
no, it's really cool. It's just
that.
A very interesting animated
is it about rat
series.
People?
So as well, they land on this planet. I think they were supposed to be studying this planet, but then there's complications, and they're humans. But this world is just like everything's living
entirely.
Like,
oh, everything.
The plants
living.
Are like really like freaky and kind of like it's very got like almost Alice in Wonderland kind of like mystique levels to it. But it's very interesting and a very good watch.
Scavenger's Reign.
Just like it reminded me of like Spirited
like
Away
fall
or
from
like
the sky or rain or like a
rain.
REIGN.
So that's I would recommend that.
Okay,
because that's really interesting.
Is it
also
a series
visually,
or a movie?
It's a series. I think it's how many episodes?
Which paid streaming service do you watch it on?
It'll be HBO Max, I think.
Yeah. How are you getting that in England?
VPNs.
Weird.
It's probably on Now TV.
VPNs and a prepaid
credit
card.
I don't know, actually. Let's see. Let's scavenge.
Yeah, you could watch it in glorious 144p on Now TV for only £55 a month.
Great. Soundbar for that.
I actually cancelled my Now TV because I just don't watch anything on it. But then this came up, apparently. And then, obviously, I bought it again to watch it.
I think I told you this.
But it's not HBO.
Yeah, do you know what's the least subscribed or least watched streaming service?
What's that? Look at the percentage in this.
Is it Paramount?
Sorry. Wow. We talked about Rotten Tomatoes. The Tomatometer for this, for
Wait,
Scavenger's Reign. Yes, anime.
So it's a kid show.
Well, sure. Let's just read the Tomatometer.
Don't call it that.
Read the Tomatometer, Trot. What does it say?
It says 100%.
100%. That's fucking crazy.
But that's the critics.
All right, well, let's ask the audience then.
Let's ask the audience.
What does the audience say?
94%.
That's fucking huge.
That's pretty high.
It means you have to watch it.
Ross, if I spell a word, T-O-M-A-T, how would you pronounce that word?
Tomate.
If I spell a word, T-O-M-A-T-O.
What? Tomato.
Tomato.
You're saying tomatometer,
yeah.
But you're pronouncing the A and O. You shouldn't be doing that.
Tomatometer.
Tomatometer.
All right, let's raise it up a bit. Tomatometer.
Okay.
It's still tomatometer.
It's not.
It's where you say tomotometer.
Tomato meter.
Well,
it becomes right. Easier to say tomato meter.
Everyone needs to say tomatometer.
No, you don't, because you're...
Everyone needs to say it. If you don't say it, you're wrong.
He's dying on that hill.
But Scavenger's Reign, definitely worth watching. It's just visually...
Is it a good animation?
Yeah, it reminds me of like Spirited Away style.
Cool.
I don't know if it's the same, it's not the same studio, but...
It's like fluid.
Yeah, there's just elements of it which are just like... it's annoying because some of the character designs are quite simplified.
Right.
But the backgrounds and stuff look fucking crazy good.
Right.
And like some of the animation style is really interesting. And there's...
So it's not
this like telekinetic like creature, which is like really cool and like... Yeah, it's really interesting. So if you have a chance
but
to watch
it's a
that,
kid's
I would
show because it's animation.
Well, it's fucking cartoon.
Yeah,
so
it's just
obviously,
cartoons,
you know,
yeah.
If you're 12 or under, it's great for you.
Pop the kids down in front of it. Are there any suck job worms in it?
Oh, well, there are some weird fucking... There are some weird things.
There are suck job worms.
There's a scene where this like kind of little bug gets pulled out of the soil. This little kind of plant suctions its head and then like pulls it out and then it kind of like plants a seed and then it just shrivels up and dies. It's just like this whole process.
What's the
it's
rating?
Like, oh, I don't know.
Has it got
like
sex
12
scenes?
A or something? No, it's not like.
Well, I'm not interested.
Like that. Oh, I'm sorry.
So there's no plant suck job like Smith said.
But
what's
it's visually
point?
Fucking cool, and it's the type of thing.
I asked for a worm suck job, not a plant suck job.
If you ever wanted to just enjoy real psychedelics whilst watching something, this would probably
yes,
be quite a cool thing
to
watch because
sure.
It's fucking. It is trippy.
Visually, cool.
I'll go to America and get cool. Max the subscription.
Yeah,
yeah. Or you could download it.
What?
Download?
No, that's not possible.
It's got to be available somewhere in the UK, surely. Scavenger's Reign, but I don't know.
Probably on Sky Atlantic.
Yeah, Scavenger's Reign.
Actually,
let's find out for
where to
UK
watch?
Stream. All right, how to watch it online.
So
on Max. Okay, so is that must be in the UK.
That's a VPN. That's telling you how to use a VPN.
That's using a VPN.
That's a YouTube video.
So it's not available in the UK then?
No.
Fuck. Well, I've fucking seen it. Guess what? You can suck a big one. Because I've watched it. You should watch it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Scavenger's Reign. And also Dune 2, if you haven't seen it
already.
Apparently,
it does have sex scenes.
Fuck oh, does it?
Apparently.
Were you too high as a kite on
psychedelics? I'm only halfway through. No, I didn't.
You're
well, no, I didn't.
Through.
I said it's just a trippy.
You don't need
but
psychedelics.
I'm just saying you could if you wanted to. If you wanted to enhance things, enhance yourself.
That would make Dune 1 more interesting. High
yeah.
On ayahuasca.
Yeah, you could make anything interesting, I suppose. If you
exactly,
know.
You can make any.
Well, you probably couldn't make the next Avatar that interesting.
God damn! I tried watching that on Netflix.
I gave it 20 minutes, and I was like, "This isn't."
I
for
gave
me.
It the same amount. Of
it's
time.
Just not for me.
It's not.
But you've watched X-Men 97 recently. It's just a little tangent on current
yes.
media.
Yeah, I fucking
what
love
what
it.
Do you think of the?
It started off as
you've
like
got nostalgia for it as well. So
I got nostalgia for it, obviously, big old nostalgia boner for it, but also. The intro is amazing, but it's not the same. If I'm going to be critical about it, they've taken the original theme song and remade it, which I think is a legal thing, licensing thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
And got the same instruments, which kind of pissed me off a little bit. But
fuck,
I'll allow
down.
It. I'll allow it.
He's
however,
got to go mental in a minute.
But
fantastic carry-on of the original series, and I didn't realize how layered and complex.
Shit, he's boiling over.
It's fantastic.
And then
it's
if you were
fun.
To check the...
Tomatometer.
98%.
And then 94% for audience.
That's fucking good. That's good. I might watch it.
You should.
I was never. The thing is, what's getting you really hot for it is the nostalgia. I never watched it before.
I don't think you need to.
So if I watch this, what am I getting out of it? As in, like, am I getting a fresh story from the beginning? Or is it like, hey, what happened in 97? We're going to continue.
There's a recap news thing at the start of, like, the current events of the world, which you could watch the whole original series. Leading up to it, sure, but you get the gist.
Okay.
Like, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, so...
That's fair.
I've caught up on it. It's very obvious. It's very, like, superhero-y, though. Like, they all speak with speeches and, like, you know, I am the elements of storm and I summon lightning!
I did like that, yeah. When storm comes in.
Storm is so, like...
Yeah. Primordial and, very cool.
Classy.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I finished Three Body Problems and I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I just thought it was a bit meh. I just didn't really care too much for it at the end. I was like, oh, I don't really want to watch the next series now.
Shit. All right.
So I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. Some people like it. Apparently reading the books is probably a better experience, I'd imagine so.
Is this the Rossometer?
This is the personal Rossometer.
What would you give that percentage then of three body?
I didn't think it... Well, I watched it through, so 60%.
60?
Around that mark, I'd
when
say.
Is it rotten? Is it below 50?
50, I think, yeah.
What about Dune 2 there?
Dune 2, I would go with like 98.
Oh, and Scavenger's Reign?
Yeah, I haven't finished it yet, but so it's far? Definitely high 80s,
damn.
I reckon.
Could it? Do you reckon it would go up?
Maybe. I haven't seen the end. Up. Apparently there's sex scenes, so...
It's going up. It's going up.
Yeah, obviously.
They blew their budget on this scene.
And then I need to watch it, but Shogun as well. That's
what would you
got
give
high
it,
audience scores on here as well.
I mean, like, obviously, I have my opinions on ratings.
These ratings are quite high, though.
Insanely high.
Well, what's
high.
This rating? It
doesn't leave enough nuance.
Well, what does that word say?
99% on the tomatometer.
Thank you.
What would you give as a Smithometer, though?
I give it a 9 out of 10. Nice. I would give it a very strong rating.
Nice, good.
But I think... Yeah, one percentage, 90%.
Oh, good. Well, yeah.
On the dot. Okay,
fair enough. Yeah. He's not going to.
I might tip it over 90 because I do love it. I it's fantastic. It's so.
Is the last 10% personal reasons, or do you reckon it's like a thing that everyone? Could
no,
understand?
Yeah. I think the last 10% should be reserved for a person's personal
taste.
I think. Yeah, no, it's great. I guess with things like Shogun, like I find certain things easier to be critical of because there's so much comparison for them. You know, like. Something like Shogun doesn't come along that often, and so I don't really want to give it too much of a critique, I suppose. Like for me,
it's just good that it exists.
Masters of the Air, I felt was quite a big disappointment, and I feel like people.
Oh yeah,
I feel like people are far too like they want to be positive about it, which is great, because a lot of people don't like.
Oh, negative. The Band of Brothers.
Yeah, yeah, the third Band of Brothers thing.
Yeah.
So
I only watched a couple, but
people don't like. Talking negatively about things because it makes them feel bad. A lot of people, I find. So I understand that some people don't like to be negative about things, but I quite enjoy picking apart things.
Do you think it's also based on people don't like to backtrack on their own hype?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I think I encounter this really, really often. People dig in and stick to their own opinion.
I think it depends on it.
Because
they
feel like it's a personal attack on their own ability to... Well,
it's like anti-vaxxers trying to find, you know, whenever somebody dies, they're like, oh, what was it though? Was it the vaccine? Am I finally proven right?
So my main problems with Masters of the Air, in comparison Band of Brothers, it doesn't even come close to Band of Brothers in multiple ways.
Like,
but I won't bother
going
into that.
The maker's odd, isn't it? Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't scratch the same itch, I don't think.
The first three episodes of Masters of the Air were basically a waste. They showed three basically identical... episodes of them going up and fighting air battles. I think this was to establish just how ridiculously brutal, over 50% casualty rate for these people in real life that's happened. You know, half of them didn't come back. That's absurd. They tried to drive that home. Problems I had with the show in general were it fixates on the two leads like all the fucking time, like they're in some sort of like, you know,
top gun shoot.
Like they had loads of cool clothes.
It's awesome, but
the costume is amazing in the show, and of the era, the clothes they wore were really cool. You know, all these bombers, they didn't have insulation in the bombers, so they all wore these amazing big flight jackets that we probably all know and recognize.
Oh, yeah.
So they have a lot of really cool costume, but the show is very fixated on basically showing two good looking guys in that costume. Like every episode's like them in a different costume, The CGI is garbage as well.
I noticed that,
I cannot believe how bad the CGI is. And I don't know why
other
people don't notice
what's
it.
What's going on with... Like, there's several things I've watched recently. Like, The Gentleman at the beginning, like... There was
I watched that.
Did you watch it? Did you see the tracking?
The tracking.
Like, the tracking alone. That's one of the most basic things you can do is track an object, right?
The main title of the film
there's
is
a
track with this mansion, and it's just, like, juddering
jaggedy
around.
And juddering. It's like...
It's like they keyframed it manually
but, like,
and just,
that's
like,
the type of thing you would better do, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Comfortably.
It's like the thing that you could give to like a fucking intern to do for a day.
Could you just
know,
use
like,
very quickly?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, yeah, it's fine, it's tracked perfectly. It's
I
don't know what went wrong with it. I remember telling you that you could have done that so much better and easier. It's just like,
they should have hired
don't understand
me
how
that.
They would saw that and were like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's not even like.
That's weird.
It's not bad enough to then be like a stylistic
choice. Yeah, because it's not like a big deal. But, did you also see the bits where they like had writing when she rents it. And that's just like really like awful. Unimaginative and also just very...
That felt very 2D BBC, and bland. TV series, like low budget VFX team doing a thing.
There was no style to it or flair. It was literally just text on a screen explaining this very quite a mundane thing really as well. Yeah, but we established it wasn't actually directed by George.
No, he was just an exec.
So it was someone who's clearly just happy to say yes to what that was. But that got a relatively high score, like 86% audience score. So people seem to enjoy the content of it enough, but I actually stopped watching.
Couldn't get past the title after that, and Jesus Christ.
I also did watch this fucking Quiet on Set documentary thing, which was about like... did you ever watch Drake and Josh? I never really watched. I think it was just past the point where I was at school and stuff. And
apparently it's a good documentary.
Well, it's not it's not good. The content of it's horrible.
Well, it's an exposé,
basically just
isn't it?
A bunch of fucking perverts in Nickelodeon.
It's Nickelodeon, with the whole feet fetish thing.
Yeah, and all these clips of like Ariana Grande like fucking squirting water all over her face and stuff. And like it's just like these were perverts in charge here. Just Dan making Schneider. Kids do what they wanted. Yeah. And then like, there's
fucking
no
tragic.
And what's worse is the guy who did old Drake also, sorry for the terms, makes it seem trip, but it does, make
Drake.
A joke. But it was, the guy who played Drake. Is it Drake? Not
the musician.
No, Josh and Drake. Drake and Josh? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah. I don't know them though either. Because
the guy who played Drake.
Drake Bell.
Drake Bell, yeah. What was the point? Yeah, so the guy who diddled him got fired, but then moved to Disney and they didn't. He just got another job at Disney, working with kids
again. Nice parallel job, moved over.
That's insane. Hollywood is fucking filled with pedophiles.
It's terrifying.
I think positions of power in general,
that's crazy.
50-50 seems to attract people who are wrong, who are like evil, or not necessarily evil, but just like doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
well, they get in that position of power and exploit it horribly.
Yeah,
but that then, subsequently, loads of people have also come out about various producers.
I think lots of good thing, lots of. Exposés are coming out now, like with P. Diddy.
If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a fucking pedo, I think is what we can take.
The Nickelodeon logo
it's just a duck.
This dude really seems to enjoy working with these young children actors and gets them to do weird things. Well, but he's a bit of a pedo. Yeah, he is. He's a bit of a pedo. He's a bit of a pedo.
Very weird kink.
Maybe we should go back to just, I don't know, letting like straight women direct and produce this stuff or something. I know that's like a kind of basic view of things, but like, how else can you avoid this?
Well,
kind of
there definitely
keep
needs
happening?
To be more checks and balances in these things, isn't there? Because that's clearly
people
are something's
in positions
wrong
of power.
On top.
People below them are worried about losing their jobs.
Yeah.
And then they just...
Well, then they're just, telling kids
weird, geeky, manipulative men want to get off. They create a situation where nobody can predict. It keeps happening.
It's so horrible.
Like, there's just so many fucking weird men. Just, I don't know, just get the fucking fires burning, I guess. A few of them we're going to chuck in aren't going to be pedos, but a lot of them are.
It would have been at
be,
a time
so
where, like, also...
It's not a wide net, but you're going to get a few dolphins.
We'll get them.
Yeah.
A few dolphins, but mostly...
Because I guess, like, smartphones weren't really a thing early 2000s, really. No. Not widespread, so, like...
The news didn't get
it
out.
It wasn't necessarily something that would be spread, like, on social media as quickly as something today. And so I'd like to think that today, if something like that was happening, it would probably get nipped in the bud pretty quickly.
It's just horrible that it's children.
Yeah.
Because children... so easily manipulated and exploited. It's just
horrible. And obviously in context of reading
arguably
a script,
they shouldn't work under before they're an adult.
Well, that's it. I'm not sure which case it was. Somebody got emancipated from their parents so they could work longer hours or some shit. I can't remember who it was specifically, but cases
I
like
that
where it's
that
like
well.
Yeah,
and I know this, and this shit is like, Dave, the season 3, he was talking about that. Like, they have a bit in there where they're working with child actors and they go into it and like they have like all of the welfare and safeguarding and stuff like that. All these people on set for looking after these kids, like taking them away. It's a dramatization of a set, but it shows the lengths that kid actors probably have to go through to and also just productions have to go through to deal with kid actors. And I know there's a load of safeguards in place, but it just doesn't seem like it's enough. Like those safeguards will only seem to exist in a space where they're already safe in the first place.
I'm speaking to somebody who worked with like Harry Potter films, and he said that it was the most frustrating part was the fact that obviously the kids could only work a certain amount of hours. Mm. So he was pissed off because he's just like, the crew get here at like 3 a.m. and they set everything up, and then they can only work X amount of hours. Obviously, they have to have like school in between, so they have like sessions, and they just said it would have taken like months and months quicker if they could have flouted those laws. So you can see why some people try to get past them, but Yeah, they've got to be. It's got to be followed in a certain.
We're going to end up with
the most like, that's literally thing schools is of not kids. The production of that film. Yeah, and I'm sure they'd agree with that.
They're
but
aging
like,
quickly. Click, get them on camera.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well,
you're
yeah.
looking older, Ron.
Oh my God, life is working on you pretty hard.
Is that a wrinkle?
Are there any new examples of kids just being straight up replaced with CG?
I mean, fuck.
Then there will be. It's a really good use of AI, if you ask me. Just remove children from the film and
the
music
equation
business.
Entirely, yeah.
Wait until they're a fucking adult. I mean, God, even 18 is too young to get into these businesses. You know, like, you're so vulnerable still. Like, you're so... I don't know, maybe we just have to accept that there's vulnerability.
Yeah, they're making themselves a star on fucking TikTok and Instagram and shit now. Or YouTube.
I guess it's a form of decentralization in a way.
In a way, yeah.
Everyone making their own business.
Yeah, but there's also just like, yeah, it's true. Well, I don't know what I want, but I don't want that
some
either.
Some of them get lapped up by the industries, the bigger industries, like TikTok and a lot of the YouTubers, like, who's that guy that was in LA?
Bloody Logan Paul.
Not Logan Paul, but similar to him.
Who was that guy that was in LA?
Curly hair.
Jake, his brother?
No, not the... he got, like, invited to a golden ticket event and then was, like, indoctrinated.
Was it at P. Diddy's house?
I don't know,
it's not P. Diddy's
which
house,
was
it?
East bloody or West hell. Coast?
I don't know. That I don't even know the full story of the P. Diddy thing. I just
I
know
think
apparently
he's just an Epstein.
Mill.
He's basically an Epstein, yeah, and also just using sex as a weapon against other men.
Well,
he seems, but what's crazy,
like
right?
Like a fucking mad maniac, yeah, but like, I don't know how much of it's true. Obviously, he's running away from the police, apparently, or some shit, so there must be some truth to it.
So he's also a billionaire,
guy's
right?
Got kids.
He's got loads of kids.
Yeah.
So P. Diddy's also a billionaire, right?
Oh, like, yeah, I think like, so, yeah, based on all his various, well,
I just
asset-wise,
cannot believe
he must be, yeah.
that there are this many actual villains, like... In the like the
I think
people,
just, there's
seemingly?
This illusion of being untouchable, I suppose, because
but
in some cases it probably
such
is.
Lunar, like such evil villains, like it really does. It
shows
just
the
mind blowing
fallibility of humans when they.
It does, but also then they construct such complex things around them to enable them.
It's
like
lack of morality.
Fallibility is one thing, but to then actively go out and use your skill set to create an environment for which enables the things you're doing shows a level of deviousness, which is just.
Well, it's really? Abuse of power. Yes, full abuse of your
yeah.
Your
it's like
power
the stories
statue.
You hear, like the mad kings and queens of old.
Yeah,
like just having insane power and doing horrible things with it.
It's mad, yeah. man. It's mad.
Anyway,
I don't know if Usher was involved in that as well. I think he was.
He's also
he was
sure,
mentioned. I
Justin Bieber.
They're all mentioned in it, but I don't know.
They probably
the
all got buggered by
are.
P. Diddy.
You want to get rich and famous? You got to make a deal with the devil.
Yeah. Did you get buggered by P. Diddy?
This is why we haven't got a million subs because we haven't had that offer yet.
Yeah. What? To be buggered by P. Diddy.
I haven't been buggered by P. Diddy, and now I think there's very
the
little chance
no,
of it happening.
I don't think I don't run in the same circles. I feel like.
Let's leave it up to the courts to decide whether P. Diddy or P. Diddy.
P. Diddle?
Well, yeah.
P. Diddle. P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy.
P. Did.
Diddy.
P. Did it.
Anyway, we've made light of that enough. But yeah. A little bit more. What else? Any more puns? God, there's some good puns. It's got to be a great time to be a tabloid writer.
P. Diddler.
P. Diddler, nice.
Simple. That's a simple one.
That's
I don't know why
so
that
good.
Wasn't the first one.
I said that.
You well, didn't say P. Yeah. Diddler? Yeah. Ah, nice. Oh, he said it right. He's covered the bases.
P. Doe.
P. Doe. P. Doe Diddler.
What was his other it's one? Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy, yeah.
You can play around with that one as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Anyway, that is it for today for the Hatchet Podcast. Thank you very much for our half expose, half movie review.
Wow, yeah, just some things we watched. We'll do more of those if you like them. I don't know how to get feedback. Comment on the video if you watch the video.
Comment on the video. Send us an email now and again.
Tell us what you like and bits. Maybe you want to hear certain things from us. Like we didn't go into too many funny news today, but we've got some.
News is
so
there.
We can always do more funny news stuff.
It's out there.
But we want to make Hat Chat chatty for you.
Like
as we, well.
Me and Ross in particular, could go a bit more nitty gritty into like the film, TV production side of it. For like breaking down films, or we could just have our anecdotal thoughts and feelings on films.
Just crack through the illusion. Of
yeah,
things.
And just say like, we like this. You could probably like this.
If there's already a camera in the building. It's clearly set up.
Yeah,
that's always the one. That always bothers me.
Anyway,
especially in documentaries, it's like what?
So, oh hi!
You've re-entered the building. He just set up a fucking tripod. Anyway,
thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. Have a good one and enjoy. Zwibs.
It was dib zvart.
Dibzvart.
Zvart? Are we saying zvart? Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to say that.
We'll say zvart, like arty. Zvart.
Thanks for the fingal. Enjoy the whole thing now. Goodbye.
Bye.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.